Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's the style. I look like Cam Newton. What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia.
His shirt's inside out, just so y'all noticed. Landfill.
Apparently my shirt's inside
Dude's
out.
Dude got dressed, came all the way to work.
I said, Landfill fashion
maven.
Is your
shirt inside out? He goes, it's the style.
It is the
that
style.
That is not the damn style.
I'm dressing like Eminem from 8 Mile all weekend to get in my Detroit mindset.
He never dressed back
all
with
he did
his
was wear
out.
Inside out flannels.
Nah.
You go watch 8 Mile again.
Nah, bro.
Because he was poor and couldn't do the laundry.
That's
so
not a flannel
flipped,
that you have on
he
right now.
He flipped them inside out. Thermals.
That's not a flannel.
Thermals.
You said flannel.
Jeff, don't I look like Eminem from 8 Mile right now? I'm in my 8 Mile phase. Nah. I'm getting my mind right for Detroit. I'm going to sleep in a trailer tonight.
You actually thought that thing was all right, did you?
I'm going to sleep in a trailer tonight instead of the dope-ass hotel I have set up. Landville, I think I look pretty good. And I got a flannel jacket like Eminem
on
from 8
a scale
Mile.
Of kid. Yeah, you do.
I think I'm locked in.
I mean, I've seen you look worse.
Thank you.
I'll say that.
For you, that's a compliment. And Landfill is a serious fashionista.
At least you don't got on the big white New Balance.
That's Air Dads. But the everybody wants to be so ironic that Air Dads are now like stylish. Since we're talking style, my good friend Johnny Cakes Auville presented me with a gift. And if you're looking at the stream, you can take a look at this. This is a Redskins program from September 29th, 1996.
Wow.
Yeah. Redskins. I think this is that famous game against the Jets that was so god-awful.
No.
The 3-0 joint?
No, that was like 92-3.
Okay. Well, you're playing the Jets at RFK. B. Mitch is on the cover. And shout out to Hex. Anybody remember Hex? Look at my man B styling and profiling in the Hex ad. If you're on the stream, look at B. Mitch. It's a starter.
Where the hell
ad.
Cakes pull that from?
He said somebody gave it to him. So, yo, you could get the starter jacket that I had as a kid that I loved so much. I had the black one. B. Mitch is showing off the burgundy one. You could get that for $100 at Hex. Honestly, I'm kind of surprised by these prices for 1996. How much you think a dope Redskins Russell Applique fleece sweatshirt cost in 1996?
Probably about $69.
$45.
$45, all right.
This jacket that you were modeling in the laydown pose in your modeling career, I swear to God, my boy Debo was wearing that last week.
Debo?
Yeah, my boy from Louisiana. It looked like the exact same thing. I'm also going to tweet this photo out if you'd like to see it. And B, just to make sure your family got it, I texted a copy of that to Maya.
Oh, you did?
I did.
And she's probably laughing her ass off right now.
Good morning.
Look at that.
How you doing, dude?
I'm good, man. Had a little boy wake me up early this morning.
Oh, you got grandbabies are
oh,
here,
yeah.
Huh?
Oh, boy.
What time did he come in?
Well, he's moving around. So, you know, he gets up and he wants to come say hello. And grandma gone, so he came to me.
Well, I'm guessing Bria just brings him right in, too.
Oh, yeah. It's Bryce. I'm like, well, I don't hear Bryce. I hear Bria said, give me a break.
Oh, I believe that, man. I believe that. It's funny, dude. I've had a productive morning. I was on I had to do a hit for NBC4 in the morning show this morning, talking with those folks, and I caught a lot of grief from one. Sam Weiner was the first one to text me. Also, Weiner, me and B are in studio.
You didn't wear that on TV.
I did not.
Okay, I was just making sure.
No, I did not wear an inside out thermal.
If they had let you wear that and didn't say that to you, then I was going to talk trash to them.
No, that's not why I got caught grief. But let me say this, Weiner, if you're listening, apparently the good folks at Metropolitan Moving and Storage B, they got us more waters. And I think they got us dope quarter zips.
Okay.
One for me, one for you. And Weiner said he was just going to leave it in the studio. I said, well, that's the best way to make sure we never get it.
Yeah.
if you leave anything in this room.
I mean, someone's going to grab it and keep moving with it.
People think
stuff in this radio station is for everybody.
I think you're better off. Now, to that point, I did have a couple of mini chicken biscuits that somebody sent to Junkies. So I did help myself.
We all share food.
Okay. Bang. I just got my quarters in. This one's got to be for you, B. That's an XL. We'll see if there's a large. I don't know what Jeff.
Yes, Jeff? It was like a card and a quarter zip left for both of y'all.
Well, that's just one.
Where'd they go?
I think Weiner has them.
No, he left them in there yesterday. That's why I was puzzled when
someone
seen it out there.
They for them.
Somebody took the other one.
Who's been in this studio?
I don't know. Because.
Oh boy.
Y'all had cars that definitely said
B-Mitch.
Yeah,
we need to find out who the hell come in the studio, because I'm actually getting pissed off, because whoever comes in here,
they make a mess.
Somebody need to tell them stop making a mess and stop touching ish that's not theirs. I almost said the real word.
We'll deal with that. But my wife still has a Christmas tree up.
Uh-huh.
And it's the little tree we have on our porch, it's outdoors. And I said to her last night, I was like, yo, I'm doing the morning show. Do we want to take this Christmas tree down? And she's like, I took all the Christmas stuff down. I just think it looks pretty with the snow, because it's snowing outside. I was like, okay. And she's like, if you want to take it down, take it down.
In other words, JP, she's trying to tell you that's your damn job.
Well, the Christmas tree was there this morning, and I got Weiner texting me, my boy McBride texting me. A lot of people had a lot of comments about still having a Christmas
tree
up on January 17th. We've been a little busy, Brian. I'm not used to working this late.
You haven't been that damn busy. I took down all my stuff.
I didn't do it.
I took it down.
You took it all down?
Yes.
You were taking ornaments off the tree?
I put them on the damn tree, so I take them off the tree.
You put the ornaments on the tree?
Yeah.
Really?
I put up the whole damn tree.
What is Monica and the girls doing?
They were like not trying to do anything, so I said, got tired of it. I knew the grandkids were coming. I did it.
Oh, look at Christmas spirit over here.
I got a question.
What?
How did you decorate the top of the tree?
The same way you would.
You got a little stepladder.
I got a damn stepladder like you would. Jeff, you're not 6'7", dude.
I'm 6'3".
You're 6 feet tall.
All right, I'm
probably 6'3" round. Yeah. Yeah, you are.
I can reach the top of a Christmas tree, though.
You can't reach the top of mine, I promise.
So, B, this morning, beyond hearing from people that were just ragging on me for still having a Christmas tree up, I also got a bunch of texts and a phone call from a current AFC assistant coach, and two texts from former players from around the league. I really think they got a chance this weekend. And the closer we get to this game...
Mm-hmm.
I really think they got a chance this
week. Listen, man, I'm going to tell you when I thought they had a chance. One thing I've learned about Dan Campbell, about the Dans, both of them, they're very similar in a lot of ways. They shoot straight. They don't BS you. When Dan Campbell said he's dangerous, he poses a threat, that's when I felt they had an opportunity. Because at that point, that coach is telling you, look, man, y'all can say what y'all want outside of this game. That kid's special. And you said it yesterday about how Joe Witt has been so fantastic in making adjustments and being in the second half. If they can do that, they're good. Long as they're close, it's all that matters. They can't go out there and, like I said, when you watch them in games that they've lost, they shot themselves in the foot with penalties, multiple penalties, turned the ball over. If you don't do that, you win games. So they got to take care of that business. That's all.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy to get to this point where they just have to get some stops. Yeah. If a couple things, can go wrong for Detroit, you think they're going to be able to compete and kind of keep it going. Uh-huh. Like I just think offensively, they're going to be able to move the football. And I think when you have that, when you're able to do that, it opens everything else up. Obviously, you're going to need contributions from all over the field. One huge story that I'm not sure we've talked about enough, frankly, is dude Kevin Zeitler for the Lions. It's their starting right guard.
Did he practice yesterday? Because he didn't practice the other 2 days.
He has not practiced, and now they're saying he's out. Like, yesterday it was, we'll see. Now he's out. They're going to start a rookie at right guard, the dude Christian Mahogany. And
like that name. I just say this, with a name like that, he had to fight a lot, so he might be a badass.
I think he started one other game this year and played well, by all accounts.
That situation right
still,
there.
Still, it's just, you're talking about a six-round rookie is starting for you in the divisional round of the playoffs.
I understand that. But I would look at that situation just like I'm looking at us having a chance. You could be a veteran or be a player thinking, oh, he's a rookie, I'm going to handle him. That rookie might be a rude awakening for you. So I think you got to still view it like, look, this kid, if they're going to start him, if he was the backup of the first-string guy, he could play. They think they have something in him. And we know how Dan Campbell makes his guys practice. They've gone through the ringer. So if the kid is there, he should be able to play. But still, you give him respect, but you should think that our veteran guys should have more know-how than he does.
Well, I think, this is not rocket science. I'm not reinventing the wheel, but the best way for them to disrupt a dangerous Lions offense is with interior pressure.
Yeah.
And I think being down a guard, and you are completely right, the way this Lions team is coached and developed, and frankly, the way they have absolutely smashed the draft and free agency, Brad Holmes, the GM up there, deserves a ton of credit. And I think it's entirely possible this dude steps in and is just awesome, right? And I think still, though, Zeitler's good. I mean, he's a plus player, and I think that that's going to make a big difference.
It should throw off their timing because, you know, you get a chemistry going when you have veteran linemen in there. So it should throw it off. But as I look at it, Detroit's good. We look at their offense. But we're averaging more yards than them rushing, which is weird as hell to me. Think about that. So we look at Detroit, we go, oh, they're potent, they're running game. We're averaging more yards per game than they are.
Over the course of the regular season, the Commanders were third in the NFL, averaging 154 yards per game. The Lions were
at 140 something.
Sixth in the NFL at 140.
Both of them are good, but I'm saying when you look at the teams running, would you have ever thought that based off of just what you see?
I think the tricky part with that one, honestly, and we talked about this, I think, yesterday, is Washington's stats, and these are regular season stats, so the entire regular season counts. I mean, they were running, they had a stretch from week four to week seven. So 3 out of 4 games, they went over 200 yards on the ground.
Yeah.
And they went for 200 yards week two. I mean, they had some really big rushing totals. Dude, against the Titans, they went for 270 on the ground.
Yeah.
So Washington had really big games on the ground that have driven up their rushing statistics. And then over the last month, kind of since the bye week, you've seen them struggle to move the ball on the ground. And I think people have probably incorrectly at this point separated the run game from what Jaden's running abilities are. And I don't think that should be the case.
No, listen, Brandon, people that are doing that are just trying to look at stuff in a traditional manner, and they're trying to push what the analytics say. You win the damn game by doing what you need to do when that opportunity presents itself. And if your quarterback is a guy where they drop off and he can get yards and he gets them, that goes into your stats because he has that ability. How many Jared Goff, they're not expecting Jared Goff to do nothing like that because he doesn't run. If Jared Goff ends up with 35 yards on you, damn sure losing the game.
Right.
Because if he does something, that'd be out the ordinary.
Right.
But
and odds are
you can't knock
play.
A guy like Jaden, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts. That is a part of their offensive game plan.
Totally agree.
So when they get it, why would people want to take it out? Makes no sense.
Do you know how many yards Jared Goff ran for this season?
It's under 200. Under 100, probably.
56.
That's what I'm saying. You know,
in 17 games, he had 35 carries for 56
yards. But see, this is what that tells you. This game today.
He's averaging 1.6 yards per carry.
It's not played in a traditional manner.
Sure.
Where quarterbacks drop back, put their foot in some cement, and let it just stay there. But if you are a quick thinker and get delivered the ball quickly, you can still work in this day too. That's what Jared Goff is. And people don't like to give him his respect, but the dude is a badass.
Totally.
You know, so the ultimate thing is when you get out there, what do you do and how well do you do it? It's all that matters.
It's interesting looking at these rushing totals. The Commanders, including last week, had four games this season. They were held under 100 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit only had one all year, and that was against the Bills in week 15. The Detroit run game, much more consistent than Washington's. They didn't have a single 200-yard rush game, whereas Washington had three of them.
Mm-hmm.
But they only had, like, Detroit's run game, I say, to just looking at the numbers, and I feel like we watch a lot of Detroit this year because they were on primetime a lot.
Yeah.
I think their run game was a very steady B+, A-.
Steady,
right? They're sixth in the NFL. You know what Montgomery is. You know what Gibbs is. Whereas Washington's had some volatility to it.
Mm-hmm.
Washington had some A+ virtuoso ground game performances.
And, that's below.
And then they had some duds.
But let's be real. What matters is when and how.
Sure.
What if they go out there, Detroit, with their regular and get 140? What if Washington had one of their grandiosos? And if you look at people against Detroit, they were averaging, I think, 90-something yards, 80-something yards for the game. But there were games, I promise you, when they had a mobile quarterback where he had some yards. Because what do they play in coverage? Man-to-man. And what's a quarterback that can run favorite thing? Watching guys back to him. So when he breaks it, hell, he's running 15 yards before they must notice he's running. World of difference.
You know what's been so fun is all week just going so in-depth on this one game and knowing how big of a game it is and how worthwhile it is to – I mean, we just did 5 minutes on Detroit's right guard. You know, like,
hey.
You don't get to dissect stuff like that throughout the regular season. And that's the difference.
Well, not in the past.
Right. Okay, Glover Quinn is going to join us next. Of course, Glover was a Pro Bowl safety for the Lions. Give us the latest. Maybe he knows what's up with this kid, Mahogany, that's going to start at right guard. And how healthy is David Montgomery back on the field for Detroit this weekend? Nobody go anywhere. We're just getting warm.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Warmed up. You know, sometimes I wonder when we have guests on that have never been on the show before, and then this song's playing, and maybe they don't know the vibes on Friday, just kind of what they think. But here we go. It's Scotty's Viking Red Bull
there
Friday.
There you go. Oh, yeah.
Glover Quinn joins us now. Glover is a former Detroit Lion and host of the podcast Believe in Lions. The Believe Network is available on all audio platforms, including YouTube and the Believe Football Fast Channel. Glover, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
We're good, brother.
We are, we're gearing up to go to Detroit, man. B and I are both on flights this afternoon. What are the vibes out there in Michigan with a really good football team that fought their way to the bye week and now is hosting a hot Washington team?
I mean, I'm actually gearing up. I'm flying out tomorrow, actually. But I mean, the vibe is always good in Detroit, man, especially during these times right now. They're winning, they're playing great, they're excited. The fans have been excited, been waiting on this for a really long time. Downtown is popping right now. Basketball season is going, the Pistons are playing well. I mean, it's just a great time to be in Detroit right now. And I know the city's going to be on fire this weekend and you guys are going to have a great time out there, man.
This team has lost so many players, but still, they've played at a very, very high level. But, you know, sometimes when you always have those games when you have that many people where you have a dud every once in a while. Is anybody concerned about that dud happening in the playoffs?
I mean, I don't think you can be concerned about that at this moment. I mean, I think right now everybody's just excited to be playing, whoever's available. You know, I think when you're going through the regular season, you get towards the end of the year and you're just trying to win those key games to continue to position yourself and win division titles and things like that. You worry about those things. But right now, this is their first game. They had the first week off. And having that bye week, you know, you get to sit back and watch the other teams play. You get to see the level of intensity that's in the playoffs. And I think they'll come out, they'll be ready to go, they'll be fired up, they'll be at home. And, I mean, we know it's not going to be an easy task with the Commanders coming in, coming off a big win. But I think the Lions will be, you know, ready to go, executing at a high level and playing really fast.
It's a fascinating matchup because, obviously, the Lions have been great all year. And – yeah. They won their way to the one seed by just dominating Minnesota in that regular season finale. I'm curious though, Glover, what do you think in the last five games of the season from December on? That Detroit defense really struggled, But then against Minnesota, they looked really good. Is that a byproduct of Sam Darnold ran out of magic juice, or is the Lions defense kind of getting back healthy, getting back to a really aggressive unit?
Well, I think it's a little bit of I don't say a little bit of both, but I think, you know, going through those last few games, you know, the Lions were dealing with a lot of injuries, had a lot of guys out. The linebacker, Alex Anzalone, was out. Malcolm Rodriguez went out. Then on the D-line, I mean, the whole D-line almost went out from the start of the season. And so I think you start getting a bunch of young guys in there, a bunch of new faces, and it just takes a little time for those guys to get on the same page, to get enough practice reps, enough game reps with each other so they can play at a high level. And so I think the offense really had to carry them for a couple of weeks because the defense wasn't playing very well. But I think what you saw in that Minnesota game, I think the defense played really well. Yeah, there were some things that Sam Darnold could have done to have been better, but I think that's just a part of the game. When you're playing in a high-pressure environment, you're playing in a stadium where it's electrifying and the defense is flying around, sometimes you miss throws that you typically would make. Sometimes you miss reads that you typically would make because the pressure is high. You're thinking it's a lot going on. And so that's just part of playing on the road and playing in these high, you know, state games. And that's what it's going to be on Saturday night. And so Jaden Daniels, being a rookie, although he's looked very paused and very calm and everything that he's done, he seemed to be unfazed and unbothered by a lot of these situations that he's been put in. But Ford Field is going to be rocking on Saturday night. It's going to be an environment. The defense, I think they've been playing better. The secondary has been playing pretty solid the last few games. And so they can hold up in coverage and allow those guys to be able to get some pressure on Jaden Daniels and keep him in the pocket. I think they'll be okay.
It's going to be fascinating. How big of a deal is Zeitler being out, the right guard? He didn't practice all week. I thought they were going to make it a game time decision, but I've now read that they've announced he's out.
I mean, that's a big deal. Obviously, the O-line is a strength for those guys, but they got a very tough unit, strong unit, veteran unit. Those guys have been together for a while. So, I mean, I'm sure they have somebody in there ready to go. But I think between Penei Sewell and Graham Glasgow, Frank Ragnow, Tim Decker, I mean, I think those guys will be ready to go. I mean, they may even slide Big Dan Skipper into that spot. He's kind of a versatile old lineman for those guys. So I think they'll be fine. David Montgomery's coming back. Jahmyr Gibbs. Those guys have been carrying it the whole season. So I think they'll be fine from that standpoint. But, I mean, you never want to lose when you're starting old lineman.
Yeah, they said a rookie, last name Mahogany, should be playing. You know anything about him?
Nah, I can't say that I do.
Okay. It's offensively, Detroit can beat you in so many ways. And obviously, they beat the hell out of Minnesota 2 weeks ago. I understand that. But Goff did throw two picks. How do you get Goff rattled? He seems so poised most of the time. But if he starts spraying it a little, where does that come from?
I mean, I think sometimes when he gets pressured and you know, he's not able to get the ball out of his hands immediately, I think he gets a little rattled because he's not a very mobile guy. He doesn't run very well. I don't think he really even looks to run. He really wants to throw the ball. So if you're taking those passing lanes away early and getting pressure on him, he tends to hold the ball, take a couple sacks, and then get a little rattled. But that's why it's so important for them to be able to run the football, because you can run the football with Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. You can keep the defense off balance when you're working in your play action pass and you're not getting put in obvious passing situations. So they got to do a great job on first down. But as you know, with Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions, you're not defending three downs. You're actually having to defend four. Because if it's anything close, they're going for it on fourth down. So that definitely plays a factor and a role in how you call plays defensively and how you call them offensively.
Fourth down stuff in this game, I'm honestly,
it may be no punts.
Washington is building
right.
Washington is building something that they kind of want to look like Detroit. Just a very aggressive mindset and speed and violence all over the field. Talking with our friend Glover Quinn, if you want to check out his podcast, it's Believe in Lions. Get it wherever you get your podcast. You can also watch it on YouTube or the Believe Football Fast Channel. Washington's strategy, if you will, has been to keep games close and then let Jaden Daniels win them late. What do you think the odds are of this being a 3-4 point game in the fourth quarter?
You know, it could happen. I mean, the Lions' offense is pretty explosive. I will say that, but the Lions do play better, you know, when the game is close or when they are ahead. And so I think the beginning of the game will be able to tell a lot. The Lions are coming off the bye week. The Commanders are coming off playing the game. So if the Commanders come out a little hot and they get the ball and go down and score and produce a turnover or get a stop and score again, and the Lions find themselves down early in the game, that could be trouble for the Lions because, you know, you can get yourself out of your own game plan because you're down. Mm-hmm. But if the Lions can control the game early, come out with some great energy, get stopped defensively, and then go down and score, I mean, they got the ability to run away with this one. So I think, you know, the first quarter would be very telling of how the game goes. But I think both teams are actually comfortable playing in close games. And one of them is the Commanders, like you said, with Jaden Daniels being able to scramble and trying to kind of control the game and the clock and get first downs and continue to move the chains. I think that could be a huge factor in this game because sometimes the best defense is a great offense. And if they can continue to get first downs, move the chains, put together 10, 12, 15-play drives, and come away with touchdowns in the red zone, that could smell trouble for the Lions. But then the Lions got, you know, the same thing. They can hold the ball, possess the ball, and get first down with the plethora of weapons that they have. So I think it's going to be a very good game. It just kind of depends on how they can control Jaden Daniels and keep him in the pocket and if we can have some explosive plays on offense.
Like defensively, they miss more players, I think, on offense. Aaron Glenn's job he's done this year, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I thought he's done great. He's had, like we said, he lost his best player early in the season, Aiden Hutchinson. He was off to a historic pace. Lost him. You lost your defensive end, Marcus Davenport. I mean, you've lost your whole D-line for the most part. They paid Aleem McNeil, lost him. You got a rookie starting corner in Terrion Arnold. You got a second-year guy in Brian Branch. So he's done a great job with the pieces that he's had. Those guys play really fast. They play really hard. Yes, they've given up some yards and things in certain games, but they've done a pretty good job of keeping teams out of the end zone when they get in the red zone. And they've come up with the big plays in the moments that you need them. I mean, the offense is great, but to win 15 games in the NFL, you need some defense too. And I think they've done enough to make key plays and key situations. Even though they've given up some yards and things like that, I think they've done enough in the key situations to be happy with their performance. But I think, you know, as the season has went on, they've gotten better and better. And then they went through the lull when more guys went down. And I think the last couple hours when they went to San Francisco, I thought they played fairly well. They was able to turn the ball over. That was something they had been missing for the last, you know, 4 to 5 games before that. So Kirby Joseph being able to get 2 interceptions, he's leading the league. Well, he led the league in interceptions this year with 9. So they've done a pretty good job of turning the ball over in the secondary. So I think defensively they've done enough to complement a very explosive offense.
It's going to be a fascinating matchup, and you're absolutely right. If you win 15 games in the NFL, sometimes people get way too caught up on stats, and you're ignoring that. The defense plays a huge part
Hell
in 15 wins. You know, you're not getting there unless something's going right.
Totally.
Right.
Glover, thanks very much for the time,
appreciate
man.
You, brother.
We'll see you tomorrow.
All right, man. Appreciate you guys.
All right. That is Glover Quinn Jr. Give him a follow at Glover Quinn Jr. Q-U-I-N. Woo! I just stumbled on a little statistic I want to share with the group.
What's that?
What if Detroit's not that great against mobile quarterbacks, Brian?
That's what I'm saying. Like I mentioned earlier, a quarterback's best weapon is the favorite thing to see is backs to him when he breaks the pocket.
Maybe got back.
They run a lot of man, bro.
Let's look at some numbers. Now, everybody, you've heard me talking about a better appliance and how they repaired my dishwasher when it was messed up. Then they got me a new one. They also did the same thing with my dryer, just wasn't drying. It is a terrible time of year to have your dryer not drying when kids are going out in the snow and everything is wet. Better Appliance has really saved the day for me and my family. Well, now they have their showroom open in Kensington, Maryland. Check out their brand new showroom to see all the major appliances from the brands they carry like Whirlpool, KitchenAid, Maytag, Speed Queen, and Samsung. They are currently running specials on KitchenAid for up to $3,000 in rebates. That's what I got. I got a new KitchenAid dishwasher. Now is the time to replace your appliances if they aren't quite working, and you can take advantage of these huge savings to start the year. They are also hiring. Major Appliance Techs, contact them for details. You need a job? Hit them up. Better is a family-owned small business specializing in major appliance repairs located in Kensington, Maryland. Whenever one of your appliances breaks, you never know who to call. Call Better. I did. It worked out for me. BetterAppliance.com. That is BETTAR. Better get better. BetterAppliance.com. I definitely did not see this song performed at a tent in Coachella at like 5 a.m. in 2010. I definitely did not do that. All right, B. Here's an interesting stat for you. The Lions only lost two games this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty damn good. Like, I want to be clear, in no capacity am I doubting that Detroit is good. There are people out there trying to do that. I think that's dumb. Detroit is good. So is Washington. In their two losses this year, B, both opposing quarterbacks ran for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
In a week two loss to Tampa, oh, by the way, transitive property. Washington just beat Tampa. Tampa beat Detroit. Just saying. Anyway, in a week two loss to Tampa, Baker Mayfield went 5 carries, 34 yards, and a touchdown. Now, Baker is a good little runner. He's slippery, but he's not like a runner. He's a scrambler.
Yeah.
You know? Now, in a week 15 loss to Buffalo, Josh Allen is 100% a runner.
Yeah.
It's weird how people separate. It's okay for him to run and everybody else is dangerous, but whatever. He is a big unit of a guy, but still, he runs a lot. Week 15 loss to Buffalo. Josh Allen went 11 carries for 68 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah. I think I watched
that one. James' legs are absolutely a weapon this week.
Totally. And that's why all the people that they keep mentioning about the running and how it's done, it doesn't make a difference how it's done. If that dude can get loose, dude. If they get everything in a traditional running manner, cool. But if not, to the hell with it. Make sure you get the yards because this is now a tournament. You win, you go forward. You lose, you go home. If his legs gonna keep us going forward, keep us going forward, dog.
This is the time to go all in on everything. This is empty the tank, dude. If Josh Allen in week 15 went 11 for 68 with 2 touchdowns. Oh, by the way, the Bills won by 6. Like, you know what happened in that game? They needed it. They needed all of it.
Yeah.
They're going to need everything Jaden can give them this week. And you don't slow that down for anything.
By no stretch.
Now, you'd also love to see, there's a lot of things you'd love to see here. But certainly part of that would be an ability to get the run game going. We've talked about it at length. I don't know that it's just going to rebound. You know what I mean? But I think if Jaden ends up being your runner, that's okay to me. And
okay
whatever,
to me.
Whatever it is to get time of possession taken care of, it is how this is going to go. B, I tweeted out the photo of your Hex photo shoot wearing the Redskins starter gear. One, it's remarkable. I feel like prices are about the same. Now, some of this stuff might be more expensive because of, you know, the unique, like, it's harder to get now.
Because of the price gouging?
But just in general, I feel like a sweatshirt for a football team is about the same cost it was as 1996. But I just saw Cody's tweet. He said, I wasn't expecting to see a B. Mitch thirst trap this morning, but I'm here for it. All right, we've all seen the photo. I just posted this on my Instagram. You can only pick one. I am picking the windbreaker. I think the windbreaker is fresh as hell. I had that coat as a kid. I had the black one, so I don't think I wouldn't feel right getting another version of that coat. Landfill, if you're picking one of those three in the photo, which one you like? You going crew neck?
Absolutely.
Just the old-fashioned Redskins on there?
Yeah.
I miss that Redskins font. Whatever that font is called, how they used to write it, it makes me think of Frank Herzog, makes me think of RFK Stadium. Mm. Touchdown, Washington Redskins. That call was
Frank was so cool.
Iconic.
Yep.
Jeff, which one you picking?
I'm going with the crew neck, too. I look cool in crew necks with the bald head, man.
Who asked you about how you look?
Nah, that's why I'm picking the crew neck, bruh.
Because I actually look like a big old damn apple sitting there with a crew neck on.
Hey, shiny red apple, they get bought. I don't know what that means, but it sounded cool.
It don't even sound cool. It sound weird as hell. You worried about your apple head.
Jeff out here stunting on people.
Jeff all thirsty for himself. Damn.
that made me laugh. All right, White Brian, what about you?
I'm going to agree with Jeff.
Everybody's going crew neck. Nobody likes the windbreaker. You guys are nuts.
It looked fire, dog.
I've been giving B a hard time. He has gotten more Skins Commander's gear in the last 6 weeks than you have in the last 10 years.
6 weeks? I've been getting this stuff all year, dog.
But every time, especially in Ashburn, every time I go to the bathroom and come back during the break, you're like, yo, I might order this. Now, there are a lot more variety.
I have to see stuff, and then I just have to reach out to certain folks, and I can get things.
I understand. But yeah. if you got to pick one of those three from your modeling days, which way are you going?
All right.
How much modeling did you do back in the day?
Man, I didn't do no modeling. That was just like a appearance, a deal. I did a windbreaker.
All right. So me and B are going windbreaker. The aquarium's going.
What? Where's the crew neck?
The bottom right.
Bottom left, you mean?
No. The bottom left is the damn coat.
You got three different coats there, Jay.
Bottom right is a crew neck sweatshirt.
B, that's a sweatshirt, bro.
A regular old sweatshirt?
That's a crew neck sweater. Because you got your hoodies, then you got your crew neck.
I would not do that one.
Yeah, I don't know when it happened, but for younger people younger than us, crew necks are like the rage. Like, they don't even like hoodies. They like crew necks.
Because Jeff cannot pull a turtleneck over his head.
I'm saying beyond just Jeff. Like,
Phil can't pull a turtleneck over that big-ass head either.
If you ask, like, Mike Marr or Cody, I'm trying to think, Stallion, like, young
they like,
dudes.
They like the stuff that we used to like way, way back.
Like Haney. If you ask
like,
Haney.
When I was 14, I would pick the crew neck.
Right.
Like, that was, like, in the 80s.
Quick question. What photo shoot is better, B. Mitch in the Redskins gear laying down on the AstroTurf or the old school Sultan of the Swamp photo where he's wearing giant boots standing in the bayou?
That one's pretty great.
Definitely the boots.
Was this the AstroTurf that Dan Snyder refused to get rid of for 20 years?
What, 96?
Yeah, probably.
It probably was.
Or was that old Redskin Park still?
Because we moved, old Redskin Park had, I think we moved over there in 97? The new facility. I can't remember. 94, 97, 1 or 2. 97 was the, was 97 FedEx?
97 was when FedEx opened.
So they moved to that place in 94. So, yeah, it was the new one. It's that same turf, Landfill?
It's gone.
Gone now, though, brother.
Maybe it was the turf that really finally exercised everything. Maybe it was getting rid of that damn turf. Who knows? But it's different now. Shout out to Hex. Nobody go anywhere. Actually, we're going to open the phone lines up. We got some OV to talk about. We got some Madrid to talk about. Maybe some South America to talk about.
Mm.
But the rest of the show is going to be packed. We got Governor Moore at 1. Peter Rosenberg with great, great news. Jeff Walker's hype song at 11:44. At 11:45. Dan Miller, Fox Detroit's going to join us. Voice of the Lions. Phone lines open now. You can ask B. Mitch anything. We can just talk ball. The boys are talking ball, and ain't nothing better.